Now that more and more payroll softwares are becoming integrated with, you know, your HR software parts, with your timesheets, they're just, it's not generally, a lot of the time now, your payroll software isn't a standalone piece. And I think that is showing the value that payroll can bring to a company. Are you confident that you've got a payroll manager in place, maybe that is going to be able to keep this software up to date? They'll set up a new pay element, it'll be set up incorrectly. There's no one in the company who's maybe got the experience to realise that. So that's where a payroll managed service can be useful.
Welcome to the Payroll Podcast, the show that explores the latest insights and innovations in the world of payroll. I'm Nick Day, founder of JGA Recruitment, a specialist global payroll search firm. I'm also a qualified executive coach and a recognized Reward 300 member. And my goal for this show is clear, is to bring you expert guests and payroll leaders who are driving this industry forward. From cutting-edge technologies and trends to compliance, analytics, automation, leadership strategies, and more, we're going to cover it all on this show to help you to deliver accurate and timely payrolls across your organizations. So let's join together in raising the strategic profile of payroll worldwide. Grab your coffee or your favorite beverage, and let's get started. Today's episode of the Payroll Podcast is sponsored by Deel. Now take a moment to consider the following pre-show scenario. Imagine you had to visit six different houses just to cook your dinner. One place has the pots and the pans, another has the stove, another has the food. You get the idea. Sounds ridiculous, right? Well, the reality is most global businesses operate exactly the same way, using six different tools and platforms just to play their global workforce. But now there's one platform offering truly simple, truly global payroll, and that's today's sponsor. That's Deel. That's D-E-E-L. And Deel's fully managed global payroll makes it possible to pay your entire team in over 100 countries and in over 200 currencies, all in one place. So whether you're an enterprise company, a small business, or something in between, Deel is built to meet your unique business needs. With in-house customer success managers, local payroll experts, and more, Deel's fully managed global payroll eliminates third-party handovers and instead provides unmatched compliance and flexibility. In fact, they'll even help you track and flag the latest changes in payroll regulations before they even become an issue. And with 24/7 monitoring and best-in-class security protocols, your sensitive data is always protected. So are you ready to change your global payroll system? If you are, click the link in the show notes to book your demo with Deel today. Hello and welcome back to the Payroll Podcast. My name is Nick Day. I'm CEO at JGA Recruitment Group, and we're specialist payroll recruiters now operating in the UK, EMEA, and the US. Now, of course, if you are a regular listener to this show, please do remember to subscribe to it if you can. If you can be really great, you can leave us a little review. And even better, please share it with all of your global payroll colleagues and friends so that together we can really raise the profile of the payroll industry for everyone. Now, today, I'm really excited because we're going to be talking about that ever-present issue in the world of payroll, which is compliance. In fact, we're going to be talking about how we can ensure payroll software compliance. And to do that, today we're joined by Louise Connor, who is a CIPP qualified payroll leader with over 20 years experience in the payroll industry, who is currently working as a principal consultant for the award-winning payroll and HR software and managed services provider, Phase 3. For those of you not familiar with Phase 3, well, they're a company with a very much a people behind technology ethos. They're a payroll HR business which values the human interaction with systems in an attempt to bridge the gap between the art of the possible with technical know-how. And they are thought leaders in the world of payroll HR and finance as well. And you can find out exactly how and why by going to their website, looking at their insights section, which gives you loads and loads of information, blogs and white papers and more about the world of payroll, which can help you on your own payroll journey. But more importantly, today I'm really excited to have Louise on the show, and we're going to be talking about exactly why and how it's essential that as payroll leaders listening to this show right now, we need to make sure that our software compliance is managed effectively. So without further ado, welcome Louise Connor to the Payroll Podcast. How are you feeling today?
Oh, not too bad. Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me.
very, very delighted to have you on the show about a subject that I know is really, really important to pretty much everyone, I imagine, listening to this show, because everyone typically these days in the world of modern payroll will be using a system to manage their payroll or to be part of their payroll process. But before we jump into the compliance piece, I'm going to ask you my first question, which is something I ask all of my guests on this show. What does the word payroll mean to you?
Oh, it's a tough question because there's so many aspects to payroll that you can delve into. I mean, keeping it on topic, obviously compliance. I think the bit I enjoy about payroll is the rules, the structure around it. Obviously making sure you're sticking to those rules, making sure you're compliant. It's the same thing, like when I was at school, I really liked math because there's no ambiguity. There's either a right answer or a wrong answer. And I think that's probably what I like about payroll as well. You're either getting the questions correctly or you're not.
Now, I can understand that as well. But I guess the danger there, of course, if it doesn't quite go right, the knot can be, the ramifications of the knot can be quite damaging, right? Which is why it's so important we do get compliance right, that we are accurate in the way that we manage our process. So if we think about that in terms of compliance and software, what are some of the kind of challenges that payroll leaders listening to this right now might be familiar with or might be associated with when it comes to payroll software and compliance in particular?
With compliance in particular, one of the largest things we're seeing at the moment is national minimum wage compliance, which I know you've spoke about on a podcast not so long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, most things with compliance, they just boil down to configuration. All these, you know, we've got all these really good software packages out now, and they're promising the earth, aren't they? They're pretty much saying that they will do absolutely everything for you. But for the most part, if you don't get the configuration right, they're not going to do, and you're not going to be compliant. So, I mean, for me, compliance, it really does just boil down to configuration, getting it set up correctly. So with things like your pay codes, we'll see people coming through to us. They think they're compliant. They're on a really great piece of software, but they've not set up the pay codes correctly. So the pay elements are maybe not marked correctly for tax purposes, for national insurance purposes, which sounds really obvious stuff. But if it's not something that you're looking at regularly, it can really be easily missed.
Yeah, I can imagine. And actually, I know as a payroll recruiter in this space, right, we're seeing so many new providers come into the space, and many of those come from a tech background rather than a payroll background. And I would imagine that there must be some compliance concerns when we see so many new sort of industries people come into the market offering different solutions. I wouldn't know myself. I would kind of be reliant on my software provider to have all those answers. But potentially, if we don't, you know, we haven't got those things set up, as you mentioned, there could be a compliance problem. So with that in mind, How does a new payroll person into the market or payroll manager, how do we navigate the plethora of sort of all the different software providers that are out there at the moment to know that the one I pick is going to be one that I can rely upon in relation to compliance? Are there any kind of steps we could take?
Yeah, I mean, you can go through a system selection process. It is something we offer at Phase 3, and it is something that we do recommend, not just because obviously it's going to bring us some sales in, but more importantly, you need to know, Is your software provider gonna look after all that stuff for you? Are they expecting you to be making those decisions? So with a lot of the big players at the moment, they're really great, but the configuration is going to be down to basically to the client, to the end user. So as much as they can say they're going to be compliant, you need that person there who's going to sit there and go through the setup with you, go through the pay elements, make sure they have that knowledge of what is subject to tax, what is subject to national insurance, what should student loans be looking at when they're doing the calculations, what is pensionable, what your auto-enrollment rules are. The software provider, you know, they're giving you the tools, but you still need that expertise there to make sure it's set up correctly.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's interesting because you're talking, you know, from over 20 years of experience in the world of payroll, right? So this kind of rolls off the tongue for you, understand compliance inside out, back to front. Tell us a little bit more about your background. What led you to being on the show with me today, number one, but also what's your background that got you into the world of managed services and payroll systems and software providers? Because obviously you are CIPP qualified, you've worked in payroll for two decades. How's the industry changed, and what's been your learning curve? And tell us a little bit about your career.
Oh, well, like most people, I fell into payroll. I wasn't actually intending to go into a career in payroll. And my first payroll role was actually working for a football club. It wasn't just a football club. So anyone who can hear my accent will probably guess where it is. But I worked for a company who basically were on the payroll for the stadium. So there's a football club play there, there's a rugby club play there. I think the owner owned a set of gyms as well. I kind of fell into it, and I'm a big football fan, so it was actually a really interesting role for me. So I was working like within the stadium, so it was really exciting. And then from there, I went more into software. So I actually worked for a big software provider, initially a help desk, which was eye-opening because, like you said, you do... I think a lot of people do have that reliance on payroll software. They think it's going to do it for them. And that role, actually, I learned a lot from it because it was really eye-opening that a lot of people are making that assumption that the payroll software is doing it all for you. And so they'd obviously ring up with a lot of questions. And a lot of the time the answer was that you're just not set it up correctly. So from then, I kind of did a bit of practice. And then I kind of seemed to fall into mainly working for large retailers, which again was really interesting. I learned an absolutely huge amount, but that brought different questions when it came to compliance. So we kind of I was working in retailers where you've got your head office, but then you've also got your warehouse part of the business,
yeah,
or your distribution, and that opened my eyes a bit more to maybe the minimum wage compliance, because you're mixing then your set of workers, from your salaried workers to your time workers, two different sets of compliance to look at for minimum wage purposes, which did actually open my eyes a lot. And then in my last role before phase three, again for a larger Northwest retailer, we underwent a large scale implementation, basically bringing in a new system to cover the HR side, the time, the payroll, and learned a lot from it. But I found it really interesting. That's why I ended up at phase three. I really like the software side of things. In my managed service team alone, we handle 10 different kinds of software, because we don't just direct people into the software that we like to use. We'll work with the companies on their existing software,
which
is great. It's all great learning, because the way that everything's handled on different softwares, it can be completely different.
Fantastic. It's a really well-rounded career as well, because it allows you, I guess, to have an understanding of both sides of the process, and it allows you to interrogate software because you've worked with it from both sides, not just as someone who's managing it, but someone on the help desk. You're also now in the world of implementation. And you mentioned minimum wage again then, which is something that comes up so often on this show. I know it's complex. So if we bring it back to the world of compliance, what are the kind of steps that a payroll manager might need to take in order to confirm that their software aligns with that complex world of minimum wage standards?
Oh, I mean, that's a really interesting question. I have undergone quite a large minimum wage inquiry with HMRC, which did help with this. But I think the main thing that I've seen from that inquiry, from the clients that we talk to now, so a lot of the softwares are basically saying they'll produce you a report. They'll tell you that if there's any minimum wage risks. The reports, again, they're really set on that configuration. So the national minimum wage is so complex that a lot of the softwares that are providing these reports and they're saying that you're compliant with minimum wage, I do believe they're probably lulling a lot of companies into a false sense of security, because for the most part, some of them will only maybe look at the salary and the contracted hours, which is fine if you're a salaried company. But for the most part, they want you to define which pay elements are included in minimum wage, which deductions reduce minimum wage. So obviously, if you set that up incorrectly, you accidentally click that a car allowance should be containing minimum wage calculations when it shouldn't. You're not going to get the right answer, but you're going to get this report at the end of the month to say, there's no risk for minimum wage. But in reality, there probably are going to be, because it's down again to the user, to maybe your system admin, your end user, whoever's setting it up in your company. If you're not setting that up correctly at the start, you're not keeping it up to date, you're probably getting this report and saying, no risk for minimum wage, when actually there could be. So, I mean, even John Lewis a few years ago, didn't they? They got into a lot of trouble over minimum wage, where they were averaging pay. So they were basically saying that, this is the average of hours that you're going to work over a month, but they were time workers, so they couldn't do that. Now, they would have, if they built that into the software, again, they were probably getting reports out saying that they were compliant when they actually weren't. So personally, I think you need to, again, review your software setup, make sure that you are understanding that a lot of the minimum wage risks come from deductions. It's really easy to just look at a salary, look at an hourly rate and say, we're above minimum wage. But most minimum wage risks are coming from deductions from your pay. And if you're not marking them as such in your software, you're spitting out this nice little report every month saying we're compliant, you might not be.
Yeah, we've come across this question a lot on Payroll Question Time. It's a show I host once a month. I mean, these are all payroll managers that join the show. And it's one of the most frequently, questions that we get is related to minimum wage standards. And, you know, if they give this particular salary sacrifice benefit or do something else or bring something else in, actually, sometimes it can take you below those thresholds. And I think there's a lot of confusion here. So there is, I can see why, you know, payroll professionals may almost over rely on their software to get this right. And yet actually it's important they probably do take steps themselves to mitigate potential risk in case, as you said in the John Lewis example, it's not quite configured correctly. You know, it can be quite a big thing to unwind, I guess. Is there any kind of steps you'd recommend that people took then in relation to things like minimum wage? And we're going to talk about sort of national legislation changes for national insurance legislation changes in a moment, but they can do in advance to make sure that they sort of help mitigate that risk.
To be honest, it's a similar thing with you know, the general compliance piece. Review the pay elements, look at your deductions. I mean, you might think that there's been a lot of stories in the last few years about deductions from pay. People thinking they're doing the right thing, maybe having a savings scheme for their employee. I'd really just concentrate on deductions primarily. Where's that money going to? Is it compliant? And then we're still seeing a lot of companies coming through trying to make deductions for things like a uniform for new starters, which again reduces minimum wage. But it's probably something that if you're not aware of and you've not had it happen to you in the past, you maybe don't always realise that. And I'd personally pull it out of the software system, do your own calculations and see if you match the system. That's the only way of knowing your configuration is going to be correct. It is something we're actually helping a company with at the moment, which is something a bit outside of the norm for phase three. It's not something we've traditionally offered, but it's actually been really interesting to see where companies are going wrong. And sometimes it can just be silly little things. They've not realised that a shift allowance can't be included for minimum wage.
Well, I guess that's a good example of the people behind technology piece, right? Yeah. You've got payroll experts there that can step in like yourself to support people when it comes to, you know, the more nitty gritty granular level of detail required to understand, you know, a payroll process or all the requirements that, or the, you know, compliance requirements they need to adhere to. I know something in the world of payroll that won't be alien to you, Louise, but it won't be alien probably to anyone listening to this, is that people have to be able to react quickly to legislation changes. Yeah. Obviously, that was really highlighted in the pandemic with new legislation that never been tested before coming into the market, and software providers working around the clock to make sure they're compliant with very, very rapid changes happening in real time. Obviously, with the recent autumn statement, there's been some updates as well. And we know that people now are going to have to ensure their software can efficiently handle the mid-year national insurance legislation changes. So how do people go about adapting swiftly to what is an ever-evolving sort of regulatory landscape? And what can they do with their providers to make sure that they're remaining compliant when that happens?
Oh, yeah, this government, they do like throwing some last-minute changes to us, don't they? We've not had any mid-year changes in so long, and then they're all coming along at once, like buses. For the main part, and what we're doing in our team, because like I said before, we look after numerous companies who are spread over lots of different softwares. It's basically check with your software provider, how are they going to handle it? Don't just assume that they're going to drop a release in there that's going to update those national insurance rates. Some will. Some are going to expect you to go in and make that change yourself manually. So maybe at this point, what we're saying is, let's speak to all of the different software providers. Just be knowledgeable on how the change is going to happen. Are you going to have a release that's going to come through? Especially if you've got a weekly payroll, because obviously it's starting in the first tax week in January. Is that release going to be in there in time? Do you want to test that release? Because a lot of companies, they don't want to just drop a release and they do want to go into the test environment and the sandbox environment, test it out, make sure it's going to come through correctly. My worry is more about the directors' national insurance, because obviously the mid-year change is again meaning that the directors' annual rate is going to be different. So they just like throwing that out, don't they? So obviously for everyone else is going from 12 to 10%, your directors are going to have an annualized rate of 11.5%. Now, HMRC haven't actually updated all of their own websites on this yet, but my worry is the software going to handle it correctly? Don't just make the assumption, pull it out, just do the check yourself, do a manual check on it. Obviously, with directors, if they're going to have any bonuses in January and February, which, you know, some will, they're obviously, if they're treating them as an employee and then you're going to recalculate in March, they're going to pay 10% NI on that. And then when you recalculate in March, it's recalculating it back at an 11.5% rate. Get ahead of the curve. Maybe work out if that's going to be a risk in your area so you can let the directors know. There's nothing worse than getting that query through on payday from a director in March and they've had suddenly had a big chunk of national insurance taken off them. It's always good to tell them beforehand. But also be aware beforehand, like I said, if you know you're going to have that bonus going through on a director in January and February, have it right in your head what is going to happen in March. Make sure your software is doing it correctly because it's such a sudden change that just don't fully... You can rely on the software to do it, but I always personally like just double-checking those things, just pulling a couple of people out and just manually calculating them and just being sure that it's done it. And not having that over-reliance on software because, again, it's so dependent on setup that it can go wrong.
Yeah, it's really, really good advice. Now, what I like about that response, Louise, as well, is it really highlights the human element of payroll, right, and the employee engagement piece. And we're seeing payroll shift so much now in the modern world of work towards a more influential, I guess, function as it gets more immersed in the world of employee engagement. And you just highlighted the importance there of communication with directors, communication in terms of working with your software providers. Because we know if your payroll isn't accurate because you haven't done those checks or you haven't communicated correctly, you know, there can be really big ramifications. And in that regard, that's what's increasing the profile of the strategic profile of payroll because the importance is recognized in that instance. And if we get it wrong, the ramifications can be significant. But we know that communication can often be the solution to many of these things. And I think it's really exciting because it really brings payroll into the conversation for really supporting employee engagement, which links to, you know, HR objectives, financial objectives, talent attraction, retention, and so on.
Hello, HR and people leaders. Are you not exhausted from the endless war for talent battle cries? I think it's time for a fresh approach, which is why at JGA Recruitment, we understand the real challenges you face in sourcing top HR talent. And guess what? We believe we have the solution. Our team is on a mission to revolutionize your hiring process because we're not just recruiters. We're strategic partners dedicated to finding the best HR and people professionals who align perfectly with your company's vision and goals. Let's break the cycle of frustration together. Join forces with JGA Recruitment and experience the difference in hiring better talent faster. Don't let another day go by without taking action. Contact us today by visiting jgarecruitment.com to discover how we can transform your HR team. And here's a bonus. When you visit us, why not sign up for our weekly HR newsletter? Because it's packed with invaluable industry insights and more. We really hope you can revolutionize your HR department by working with JGA Recruitment. Contact us today.
Have you seen that shift a lot? From your side as well, working on software provider side, obviously from a payroll management perspective, we're seeing it shift a lot internally. But I know that the whole ethos for phase three is the people behind technology. Tell me a little bit more about how that works in practice.
Yeah, I think since the dreaded furlough, I think people have actually started to realise that there is a lot more to payroll than just, I mean, I always say just pushing that button. I think sometimes HR departments can believe that payroll is probably the easier part of the equation. When we got, obviously, all those legislation changes coming through from the CJRS, I mean, they were changing on a daily basis, weren't they? It was a crazy time. And I think that, for me, that has kind of been that little bit of a shift of people actually looking more at what payroll do, looking more, like I said, what the impact is, because obviously that was a huge employee engagement piece for a lot of companies when they were having to put the employees onto furlough, explain what they were going to get paid, how they were going to get paid it. So I think that did, I think that brought payroll more to the forefront in a lot of companies, which helped. And I think now that more and more payroll softwares are becoming integrated with, you know, your HR software parts, with your timesheets, it's not generally, a lot of the time now, your payroll software isn't a standalone piece. And I think that is showing the value that payroll can bring to a company.
Yeah.
Most of your big players now at least you're going to link in and you're going to have an integrated HR and payroll system. And then obviously you've got the age old question of, does payroll sit with finance? Does it sit with HR? But I think the fact that most companies now are using a big piece of software that is going to link HR and payroll together, it really has shone a light on what payroll does. And I think a lot of the time when we're doing an implementation of payroll and you've maybe got more HR people involved in the conversation, and obviously you're digging really deeply into what you need from them from a payroll point of view, I think it does open a lot of eyes on how complex payroll can be. I think there's always been a bit of a traditional thing of it's just payroll, we just get people paid. And now, yeah, I think we're seeing more and more that payroll are bringing a lot of value. They're bringing more to the table.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think you're right. The pandemic really thrust it into the limelight, but I think the pandemic was followed then by the Great Resignation or the Great Awakening, whatever you want to call it, where, you know, we saw masses and masses of people, millions of people, change positions often for better pay and benefits, which I think further sort of supported the argument for the importance of payroll and the importance of a holistic sort of product suite, if you like, in terms of what we're offering our employees. So I think it's been a knock-on effect, really, that's consistently pushed payroll back into the limelight. It's been really exciting to see it change. But of course, as a result of that, we've seen a lot more payroll transformation, companies understanding it's important, and therefore, well, we need to get this right. We need to invest in our own software. But of course, if you're going to do that and go through a transformation, you've got to make sure the software you're bringing in is compliant. So with that in mind, if a payroll manager here was listening to this and considering new software in what is this new sort of digital age post-pandemic, what are the key kind of questions you would recommend they considered asking the supplier to make sure that the software they're bringing in definitely and guarantee, you know, is guaranteed, if you like, to align with the compliance standards that are required going forward?
From a payroll perspective, I think for me, it's important to know how much you as a company want to get involved in it. So I'd be asking, you know, does the software provider set up new pay elements? Does they make the decision on if it's going to be taxable and liable? Is it going to be the end user? Because if you've not got the correct payroll team, but they're expected to make big decisions on the software and keep the software up to date, more importantly, have you got the right people for that kind of software? Are you going to want to go, because there's obviously, you've got your managed software providers as well as your managed payroll services. Are you going to prefer, I suppose, to go for a software where really they're going to be your system admin? Or have you got someone in-house that's going to do that? I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg with the questions. I mean, we've got a mix of clients, to be honest. We have clients that we only really do that bit of work for them. So we will set up new pay elements for them, we'll run it through, we'll do the final checks for them, but they'll do the input themselves. So it's all about how involved, how good your payroll team is in-house. I mean, something we are really pushing at Phase 3 at the moment is system selection, where someone will basically sit with you on the calls with the software providers that you're considering. They'll ask these questions for you. They'll make sure you're getting the answers, and we know the software, so we know you're not just getting a sales answer. We know you're not just getting a sales pitch that says, yeah, we're compliant, you don't need to worry. We'll ask the more in-depth questions. So there can be value to that, because it's such a large investment for companies. And I think sometimes I've seen it in companies I've worked at, and I've seen it since I've been at Phase 3. People get a bit, they like the new and shiny, you know, you get a nice little demonstration where they tell you everything's going to be really easy and compliant and it looks nice and people go for it. And then as they start getting into the configuration of it, into the implementation of it, find it doesn't really do what they want. Even just some things like wanting it to calculate your absences, not all softwares can do that. So it's not just about compliance. It is about what you want from that software and making you sure you're getting the most value for it and making sure you are picking the correct one. A lot of people will go for the big names just because the big names, but it might not suit your company.
Yeah, it's really good advice. Like, certainly from my perspective, obviously we speak to power managers every single day in the world of recruitment, and there's definitely a disconnect between what people are discovering from a sales team they might hear in a pitch versus what the software can do, versus even if the software can do everything, there's also the support element. Are they supporting, or do they get the support that they were buying into or they thought they were getting as well? And often those three things don't always connect as well as they hope when they implement something new. And I know that software providers will often put people in touch with clients that use their software, but they're often cherry-picked. So we often get requests from power managers saying, Nick, do you know anyone who's actually using this software that isn't, you know, someone that's been recommended by the provider themselves? And obviously we know which companies are using which software. So we can often put them in touch with people that hopefully will give them a true view. And you know, there's nothing in it for us in that respect, but it's good sometimes to understand how people are truly feeling when they haven't been picked. And I think that comes from the fact that people have I don't know, being burnt, if you like, for want of a better word, where they pick something, as you say, they've gone for the trinkets, the shiny things, and when it's been delivered, it hasn't quite worked how they wanted. But you mentioned there that sometimes, you know, people will configure everything perfectly when it's set up initially, and that's great, but then it doesn't get updated or something will change, like the mid-year national insurance legislation changes, and they'll expect the system to automatically update, and it doesn't. But I know that at phase three, you offer system health checks as well, and that's something that I understand that you'd recommend that Pearl managers probably did try and do to ensure that they are staying compliant on an ongoing basis, particularly with what, as we've established today, are rapidly changing regulatory requirements. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, the system health check process and how it can really benefit a payroll manager perhaps listening to this.
Yeah, well, it is, like I said, it is something that phase three offers. So obviously all the large payroll software players, we have people very experienced in. So what a system health check, it's going to come in, it's going to look at your system, look at the configuration, look and first of all, obviously ask what your existing problems are. Very often you'll speak to a company and straight away they'll know what their issues are. They'll say, you know, it's just not calculating absences correctly. It's not calculating maternity correctly. It can be very common questions in it. But what we do is go in, obviously look at the setup. We know how these softwares work. We know what they're capable of as well. So we will obviously always be honest and say, actually, you're looking for a software that can do X, Y, Z. This software just isn't capable of doing that. But what we'll also be is just that fresh pair of eyes to look through your configuration, look through all your pay elements, your setup, look at the issues you're experiencing and suggest where changes can be made, suggest where you may be not being compliant, but also just be that extra pair of eyes, but that honesty of this software possibly doesn't do what you want it to do. So you may be struggling because that software just isn't capable of it, which it happens. You know, you've maybe at the beginning that software was great for you, you've maybe outgrown it as well.
So Louise, tell me a little bit more about the work that phase three do. We've obviously gone into some detail today about some of the services you provide. We talked a little bit about the health checks, but for those listening that perhaps want to find out a little bit more about phase three and the kind of services you provide, so as you say, you work with lots of different software providers. You have very much to say of people behind technology ethos. If someone wanted to find out more, tell us a little bit more about the business.
Yeah, so obviously we've been in this environment for nearly 20 years. I believe it's our 20-year anniversary in March. So obviously, yeah, like we said, we're the people behind the system. So we do professional managed services for HR, payroll, finance. We do system selection. To be honest, if there's a question about the software, we'll probably do it. So we're not just regimenting them and say we only do managed services, we only do health checks, we only do system selection. What we actually look at is making sure clients get the maximum value from the systems. So you can come to us and you might not really know what you want. You might just say, you know, my software's not quite working correctly. I perhaps don't need a system health check, but I do want someone to come and drill into this element or into this piece of the software that's not quite working correctly. We do that. We do system supports. We've kind of got clients on what we call bite-sized contracts where we will be kind of the support help desk for them. So they'll ring up and say, you know, I'm struggling to set up this new pay element. I'm struggling to set up this new post on the HR side. Can you help me with that? I pretty much, compared to some of the other companies, I like to think we're a bit more of a boutique choice. We will work with you for what you want. We're not kind of just going to say all we do is XYZ. So like I said, someone's coming to us recently, we think we've possibly breached minimum wage. Could you look at our payroll reports and provide us with a set of calculations? So we're doing that. So we're technology, but we've also, like I said, we've got the personal touch. We've got the people there who have so much payroll experience, so much HR experience, so much finance experience. We can create APIs that go between softwares. So if your softwares can't speak to each other, we can help with that. So, I think it's like I said, I've only worked here since March this year. I came back off maternity leave straight into this role. But I think what I'm finding is that we can just be that extra pair of eyes for a company. We can just bring that experience in when needed. So I think sometimes, even if you're not going through a huge finance transformation, you may be not going through system selection, but you're finding your current software doesn't work, we can help with that as well. So we're really, anything that you pretty much want from us. I work, I look after the managed services team. So obviously that is managed payrolls. So But again, we there's different aspects to managed payroll. We can do full end-to-end managed payrolls. We can offer the service where we're really only looking after the compliance part of it. We'll look after the parts where you maybe got your own team doing the input, but then you want somebody else to do the checks at the end of it and do the RTI submissions.
Well, I mean, the thing that comes to mind for me is that preparation prevents poor performance, right? And if there's something we're unsure about, we don't want poor performance in payroll, because poor performance in payroll results in employees leaving, it can be brand damaging, and all those things that come with it, right? So, you know, if you have got something you're unsure about and you want a provider to help you navigate whatever that might be across your software or your service, then that's something obviously you can kind of plug and help and support, which I think is really, really valuable. And for those that don't need that service, it's worth mentioning as well, you also offer the payroll industry loads and loads of information in relation to, you know, resources. You've got a great newsletter, which even I subscribe to. So yeah, there's lots there to be discovered in your website, which is phase3, that's the number 3.co.uk. And I'll put a link in the show notes for those that want to find out more and sort of navigate that site. There's a great section called Our Insights on there as well, which links you to some of those resources. And we're going to open the payroll vault. So here we've got three short, sharp questions for you, Louise. The first is this: one piece of advice you would give to someone working in payroll right now?
I mean, again, it goes back to your legislation. Keep on top of it. Keep looking for these resources. I mean, we post a lot on LinkedIn. That's really helpful if people want to follow us on LinkedIn. But also, you know, CIPP do. Keep on top of the legislative updates. Don't let anything pass you by. It changes so frequently. I mean, this government, like I said, they're throwing us mid-year changes, aren't they? Make sure you're following the right people on LinkedIn. Make sure you're on the right newsletters. You're listening to the right podcasts. And just make sure you're really, really up to date on that compliance piece. Because, I mean, it's changing so often. They're throwing us mid-year changes, and you can't risk not being compliant.
Yeah, fantastic. I think that's definitely come through on today's show for sure. If you had the power of foresight and you could change the entire payroll industry with one action or one improvement, what would that action or improvement be?
Actually, it's quite an interesting one that we've been talking about recently. I'd actually change how the FPS submissions work to HMRC. So if anyone uses Irish payroll, so if you go on to Revenue Online Services, onto Ross for the Republic of Ireland, when you submit all the data over to them, you can actually go into it and you can see employee by employee what has been submitted, which is so useful when you can't reconcile. And I think that would be the one thing that would, I think, make a big change.
Very nice. And that's an industry first. I've not heard that one before. So what a great response. I like that. And last but by no means least, a bit of fun. If payroll was a song or a movie, what song or movie would it be and why?
Song or movie? I can't remember. It's a song title, but I'm showing my age here. With Take That and Everything Changes.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Especially we talked a lot about that today. That works.
Everything is, it does feel like it's constantly changing at the moment with payroll.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today's show, Louise. For those, of course, that are interested in finding out more, I'm just going to mention the URL again. It's phase, that's the number 3, phase3.co.uk. I will put a link in the show notes, both to the About Us section for Phase 3, so you can find out more, but also the Insights section as well. And if you do go to that website, you'll have an opportunity to subscribe to their wonderful newsletter as well, which I recommend that you do. They will also put a link into Louise's LinkedIn profile if you want to connect and find out more about and connect with Louise and what she's discussed today. Please do look at the show notes and you can be directed straight through. And of course, if you are a payroll leader listening to this show and you need support with a payroll-related vacancy, then please do get in touch with either myself or my wonderful team at jgarecruitment.com. There'll be a link to that in the show notes as well, or you can reach out to me directly on email and I'll put that in the notes as well. Just leaves me, I guess, to say a huge thank you to Louise Connor for joining me today on the Payroll Podcast to talk about how we can ensure system compliance, something really, really important for everybody, particularly in relation to the rapidly changing legislative landscape that we live in the world of payroll. So thank you ever so much for joining me today, Louise, on the show. And I look forward to bringing you the next episode real soon. Thanks very much, Louise.
Thank you for having me.
Today's episode of the Payroll Podcast has been sponsored by Deel, the all-in-one global people platform that simplifies how you pay your global teams. Deel's fully managed global payroll makes it possible to pay your entire team in over 100 countries and in over 200 currencies, all in one place. So whether you're an enterprise business, a small company, or something in between, Deel is built to meet your unique business needs. With in-house customer success managers, local payroll experts,
dedicated points of contact, and more, Deel's fully managed global payroll eliminates third-party handovers and provides unmatched compliance and flexibility. In fact, they'll even help you track and flag the latest changes to payroll regulations before they even become an issue. And with 24/7 monitoring and best-in-class security protocols, your sensitive data is always protected. So are you ready to transform your global payroll system? If you are, click the link in the show notes and book your demo with Deel today. That's all for this episode of the Payroll Podcast. I hope you enjoyed our discussion today and gained valuable insights and inspiration to advance your payroll career or your payroll operation. If you haven't already, please, please do subscribe to the show so you never miss a future episode. And if you found this podcast helpful, please take a moment to leave us a little review on your preferred podcast platform. It's your feedback that really helps me to improve the show and, of course, attract new listeners so we can continue to raise the profile of the payroll industry for all. Finally, if you know anyone who could benefit from this payroll podcast, please do share it with them. Let's spread the word and build a vibrant community of payroll professionals worldwide. Thank you, of course, for listening. My name is Nick Day. Please do look me up on LinkedIn and send me a connection request. In the meantime, I look forward to being with you again on the next episode of the Payroll Podcast real soon.